not everybody wakes up as early as Joe Thomas. Subscribe to the Snooze Alarm Survivor Podcast from Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, really anywhere podcasts are distributed.
Access denied.
Except Spotify.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Thank you for letting us be of service to you in the second most important city in the history of mankind, right after that little fishing village of Galilee, at least as we base it on the work product of our native sons. Joining us back on the Newsmakers line with us, which is always impressive when you guys are pretty sure I offend all my guests. So when they come back for second visits, I like to show off that I haven't driven them away, never to speak to me again. He is former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Congressman from Georgia as well. Speaker Newt Gingrich has a brand new book out about those great old days in the 90s. Speaker Gingrich, how are you, sir, and welcome back.
Well, I'm doing great, and it's always fun to talk with you. And, of course, you're at the center of a lot of American history. So this week on Newt's World, we're doing a series on the Founding Fathers, and it fits right in with what you were describing.
Oh, sure. I mean, this area, if you think about it, you know, one area where Madison writes the Constitution, George Mason and James Monroe helped get the Bill of Rights on it, and thank God for that. And, of course, Jefferson's work with the Declaration setting the scene for it all. If we can't defend this town, we can't defend any of them, Newt, as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk a little bit about the book. This is a look back at the contract with America, period, and winning the House. And people forget that when you became Speaker, it was the first time, I think it was 40 years since the Republicans had held the majority in the House of Representatives.
That's right. We call it March to the Majority because just in my own experience, we worked from 78 on for 16 years, and we've been in the minority for 24 years before that. So it literally was a 40-year process leading to the contract with America and the first Republican House in 40 years. And frankly, when we won re-election in 96, it was the first time since 1928 that the Republicans had gotten re-elected as a majority. So I wrote March to the Majority in part as a cookbook. I mean, it's designed for the current generation of Republican activists to say, look, there is a way to do this. There's a way to govern. There's a way to get things done. Remember that we worked with Bill Clinton when we were the majority, and we got both a balanced budget for four consecutive years, the only time in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also managed to reform welfare. We managed to cut taxes. I mean, it was a very productive 4 years.
And I think it's when a lot of people, especially in the last week and a half, are looking back on and saying, what happened? You know, and I know you've been in these, you know, meetings and these discussions, but I think a lot of folks look at one of your successors at the speakership and said, well, why didn't Kevin McCarthy just send the bill that they had passed regarding the debt limit to the Senate, who had gone on recess, by the way, and start going on TV saying, I don't know where the Senate is. Chuck Schumer's gone on recess. Apparently, it's not a big deal to him, because this is exactly how Nancy Pelosi conducted the office. And I think you conducted the office with the same bravery of saying, hey, we did our work. Now you do yours. You know, I know you have said it's a tough thing to do to negotiate these sort of deals, but you know, what is your advice to my listeners who are sitting there saying, what just happened to us?
Well, I mean, if they'll look at my new book, March the Majority, they'll see, you know, when we won in 94, we had a big majority, we had a lot of momentum, but we didn't leap to a balanced budget. We had to work for three straight years and one step at a time. And I tell people the debt ceiling bill, if it's a first step, it's a pretty decent bill. If it's the last step, it's a terrible bill. I happen to think it's the beginning of a process, and I think it was important because it shifted the balance of power in Washington away from the White House and away from the Senate towards the House Republicans, and House Republicans are the most conservative group in the city. So from my perspective, having done this and having successfully gotten us to the only four consecutive balanced budgets of your lifetime, mm-hmm. I'm pretty convinced that, Speaker McCarthy's on the right direction. He pushed pretty hard. He got some significant steps. He's going to be back at the same stand getting more steps. And as long as that's what happened, it's a good start. Now, if this was the end, then it was a terrible bill, because by itself it's not enough. Mm-hmm. But I think, for example, there'll be a huge fight this fall over killing the FBI's desire for a $3.5 billion headquarters larger than the Pentagon. And that'll be an example of the real struggle over the future of the country.
So I think if I read you correctly, and I've only been able to skim a little bit of the book, and I thank you for an advanced copy of it, Speaker Gingrich, is that we have to stay engaged with our members of Congress. Now, here we've got Bob Good and Ben Klein, both, you know, standing against the bill in its right. But what should we be pressuring our representatives on, even a congresswoman like Spanberger? Should we continue to keep the pressure on regarding, new limits and the next steps in there?
Well, I mean, we have a project called the America's New Majority Project, which people can see at americasnewmajorityproject.com. We've been taking polling since 2018, looking for 70% and 80% issues. For example, parents' rights to know what's happening to their children is an 84% issue. And I would say to people, get your representatives to understand where you want them to go. Be courageous as a citizen and talking to them, going to town hall meetings, calling or emailing their offices. And then, again, I think they're questions of judgment. I think that the House Republicans are the most conservative group in Washington. I think they should keep the pressure up on issue after issue, and they will gradually move the entire system, because the power of the purse, the power to spend money, starts in the House. Mm-hmm. And if they're willing to fight over control of the House, over the control of the purse, they will eventually force the government to change.
Well, I think what you talk about is exactly what we saw here in Virginia in 2021. We have to have Republicans who are not afraid of issues that are traditionally Democrat issues, because it looks like when we lay out our ideas, they make sense to people. Is that what I'm getting from you, Newt?
Sure. I mean, I'll give an example on health care. Republicans normally don't like to talk about health care because they think it means you automatically have to be for bigger government. The average American, overwhelmingly, over 90%, believe there ought to be transparency in cost and quality. And the experts who look at it believe if we actually could measure cost and quality and you could make a decision based on cost and quality, we would probably take a huge amount out of the health system in terms of waste and inappropriate pricing. Mm-hmm. That will strengthen Medicare, Medicaid, every single private sector health insurance. So there's an issue where Republicans could talk about your right to know, and they would be with an overwhelming majority of the American people.
So why don't they get, I mean, it seems like we're wandering in the woods, Newt. I mean, it was so clear when you laid out the contract with America, it was so clear. And my listeners and I talk about it all the time, and we seem to have clarity on it. Is it too many consultants? Are there too many point buys, ad buys, gumming up the works in the decision-making process?
Well, I mean, I do think the consultants are a problem, because I think they don't pay attention to issues. Most of them have contempt for the voters. Abraham Lincoln once said that with popular sentiment, anything is possible. Without popular sentiment, nothing is possible. And I think it's very important to remember that the American people ultimately are the governors of their own future. And I think when you start by talking to the American people, they pretty well, they'll tell you where they want to go. They want smaller government, lower taxes, less red tape. They want more freedom. They want to focus on small business and entrepreneurs creating jobs. They want to lock criminals up. I mean, they regard a lot of what the left is doing as crazy. Mm-hmm. Because how can you believe they're releasing murderers and releasing carjackers and releasing robbers leads to anything except more murder and more carjacking and more robbery? And yet liberals behave in big cities as though they have zero common sense.
Newt, I have to let you go. He is former Speaker Newt Gingrich. America's New Majority Project is the website. March to the Majority is the book. Thank you so much, sir, and you have a wonderful morning.
Great talking to you.
Welcome to our 90th year serving Central Virginia. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV. AM and FM, Charlottesville.
Partly cloudy and warm today. Highs will be in the middle 80s. 59 degrees outside of the Automated Office System studios at 8 this Monday morning. And from the WCHV.